Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman and today I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph for Tuesday, July 7, 2026. I'll begin with the front page and the first article is Route 66 Muse for Mural Artist. And the article is written by Matus Yannick. Free Man Spreads Colour, Law Across McLean County. Chenoa. When Troy Freeman first started painting murals across McLean County along Route 66 in 2024, the work was tied to the larger preparation for the historic highway's 100th anniversary. 2 years later, with the centennial underway, Freeman is still adding colour to the local stretch of the Mother Road. Freeman, owner of Free Sky Studios, recently worked on a new Route 66 mural in Chenoa, which is the latest in a series of public art projects he has painted across the county. The mural features a rural Route 66 scene with cornfields, an open central Illinois landscape, and a pink Cadillac, the one element building owners Ed and Barb Gregory specifically requested. The only thing that the Gregories wanted is that they wanted a pink Cadillac, Freeman said. So that's what we've got going on. The Gregories recently opened Route 66 Collectibles inside the building at 133 South Vito Street and plan to add a gaming room called Pink Caddy Palace. Freeman said the couple had talked with him about painting the wall before grant funding became part of the project. Once the Route 66 mural funds came together, the wall became part of the latest round of local mural work. The article is then continued onto page A6. The Community's Mural. The Chenoa mural differs from some of Freeman's earlier McLean County Route 66 work. The mural inside the McLean County Museum of History's Washington Street entrance depicts several sites along the local stretch of Route 66, including Chenoa Pharmacy, Lexington's Memory Lane, Towanda's Dead Man's Curve, Sprague's Super Service in Normal, Miller Park Zoo in Bloomington, Funk's Grove Pure Maple Syrup in Shirley, and the Dixie Truckers Home and Travel Plaza in McLean. That mural also centres on the museum and includes Abraham Lincoln driving a 1960s Lincoln Continental convertible with an open passenger seat for photo opportunities. Freeman's mural on a grain bin in McLean took a different approach, using a pinball machine design that references the village's local history and Route 66 identity. His downtown Bloomington mural near Red Raccoon Games has a drive-in theatre feel. Freeman also recently added his work to McLean's historic 1935 water tower, turning the elevated tank into a wraparound tribute to the village and Route 66. In Chenoa, Freeman said he wanted the wall to feel as though viewers could enter the landscape. I kind of wanted to capture that, capture the farm scene and have the wall look like you're kind of going into the scene, Freeman said. It's kind of like that Wile E. Coyote driving off into the painting effect going on too. There has also been talk of adding a small pocket park near the mural, Freeman said, giving visitors a place to pull up, take photos and spend more time in downtown Chenoa. That type of interaction has been part of the goal since the countrywide Route 66 mural effort began. For Freeman, who grew up in Athens, lived in Springfield and later moved to Bloomington, the local mural work has carried a different meaning than some of the projects he paints across the country. Back in 2024, Freeman said the museum mural and related McLean County projects were meaningful because they allowed him to work in the community where he lived. "This is not my mural, this is the community's mural," Freeman said then. "I am just the painter." That view has not changed, as his name has become more known through his work on the local Route 66 murals. Freeman said he is not especially interested in making the work about himself. "I don't really want all the notoriety," he said. "I really want people to enjoy them." He said he likes when people recognize the murals without immediately realizing he painted them. Someone recently mentioned to him a 5-story mural on a grain bin in McLean, not knowing he was the artist. "I was like, yeah, that was me," Freeman said. "That's kind of neat." For him, the variety of mural styles is part of the appeal. The McLean Pinball mural is more graphic. The McLean Water Tower mural uses block colours and a flatter design. The Chenoa mural is more realistic with gradients, blended colours and a softer landscape feel. It's cool being able to paint different styles and stuff, and people don't recognise that it's me, Freeman said. It's kind of funny. Freeman said the Chenoa mural has also been a quieter change of pace after finishing a city mural in Ashland, Ohio. After Chenoa, he planned a vacation before heading to Galena, Kansas, for another Route 66 project. He said he also has jobs coming up in Wisconsin, Utah, Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee. It's been nice to be able to just kind of stay right home for the spring and part of the summer, Freeman said, but pretty soon I'm going to hit the road. Still, Freeman has more ideas for McLean County and beyond. If additional Route 66 funding becomes available, he said there are designs being considered for Towanda and another mural in Lexington. Both would involve larger walls. Beyond Route 66. Freeman said he has a more personal idea he hopes to pursue someday, a series of Art Deco-inspired murals depicting guardians of different communities. I have a dream of just doing a series of Art Deco goddesses, like guardians of the city, he said. He described the concept as large, ethereal murals inspired by artists like Czech painter Alphonse Mouchard, with perhaps a goddess of Bloomington, a guardian of Normal, or similar figures in communities across the Midwest. Those projects, Freeman said, may be harder to fund because they are not tied as directly to a specific tourism theme or local landmark, but he keeps the designs in mind. I see buildings everywhere, Freeman said, of possible locations for future murals. For now, his newest wall is in Chenoa, where the mural is already drawing attention from people passing by. Freeman said residents, children and visitors have stopped to watch or talk while he works. That response is one reason Freeman believes murals can matter in small towns. He said a project like the Chenoa mural can bring people off the main road and into the downtown, while also giving residents another reason to take pride in the place they live. Something like this is really big for a little bitty town, Freeman said. It's funny how murals like this really do just enliven a community. Freeman said that sense of small-town pride resonates with him because of his own background. I grew up in small towns, so it's kind of in my blood, he said. It's nice that people appreciate it, and it gives them something to be proud of too. And with this article, there are three photos, and the main ones are from the front page. And the first one is captioned, Muralist Troy Freeman of Free Sky Studios works Saturday, June 27, 2026, on a new Route 66 mural in downtown Chenoa. The mural, painted on the side of the building housing Route 66 Collectibles, features a rural central Illinois landscape and a pink Cadillac. And the second photo is captioned, Muralist Troy Freeman of Free Sky Studios works Saturday, June 27, 2026, on a new Route 66 mural in downtown Chenoa. The mural, painted on the side of the building housing Route 66 Collectibles, features a rural central Illinois landscape and a pink Cadillac. And this photo shows the preparation that is involved in the planning and painting of the mural. And the last photo from page A6 is captioned, Artist Troy Freeman from Free Sky Studios created a mural inside the entrance of the McLean County Museum of History for the museum's theme of cruising with Lincoln on Route 66. And that photo was courtesy of Clay Jackson, also from the Pantograph. I'll now continue from page A2 in local news and today's flicked fact. Today's question. Recent discussion of the Epstein case has revived references to the Mann Act, a federal law that relates to sex trafficking and crimes involving sexual exploitation. Do you know the congressman whose name is attached to that law? And today's answer is James Robert Mann, a Republican congressman, attorney and eventual U.S. House Minority Leader who hailed from Bloomington. The federal law still bears his name. And as always, the Pantograph's commitment to accuracy. We want you to tell us about issues regarding accuracy and fairness. Contact 309 820 3242 or email ojacobs@pantograph.com. See past corrections at pantograph.com/corrections. And also from the same page, in How Time Flies. 100 years ago today, on July 7, 1926, another Bloomington business house changed hands when Paul F. Tick of Normal purchased the Rowland Building at the northeast corner of Jefferson and Centre Streets from F. W. Woolworth for $100,000. The building is occupied by the Rowland Store, the Elks Club, Rowland's Cafeteria, and several offices. And on this day, 75 years ago, July 7, 1951, traffic fines in Bloomington go up. Reckless driving fines show the greatest increase, with a $15 jump for the first offence and $30 on the second offence. The fine for reckless driving will be $25. Speeding fines will jump from $4 to $15 for the first violation, and from $10 to $20 on repeaters. And 50 years ago today, on July 7, 1976, Normal City Council gave its approval to a host of plans for the College Hills area. They approved plans for College Hills Subdivision, a 7-acre residential and commercial development. They also approved final plans for College Hills Mall. And finally, 25 years ago today, on July 7, 2001, Broman Healthcare's chief financial officer, who came to the organisation when it was in the midst of its financial problems 4 years ago, has resigned his position. Greg Burkle's resignation was effective immediately. Broman President Dale Strassheim announced July 6. A written statement from Strassheim said no fiscal concerns or improprieties played any role in Burkle's resignation. Broman is in the process of closing out one of its strongest fiscal years in the organisation's history. I'll also include from Veterans Corner some information. The past year at McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission has been one of growth and changes. The MCVAC thanks you for your patience as we work through the growing pains that happen in all organisations when changes to staffing occur. Be assured, the MCVAC is here to serve veterans and their families with dignity and compassion. We have some updates to share. We have a new logo that better reflects our mission of serving those who served while still honouring the county where we do this work. We have started visiting many smaller communities in McLean County and hope to see you soon. If you have any event for veterans, please let us know so we can help promote it. We also have some bittersweet staffing changes to announce. Superintendent retirement. MCVAC is announcing the retirement of Superintendent Jerry Vogler. After serving in the Army and a distinguished tenure at GTE, Jerry entered his first retirement. At the request of MCVAC's first superintendent, Sammy Ferreira, Jerry came out of retirement and took up the mantle of VAC superintendent. He faithfully served the veterans of McLean County for 23 years. His leadership and guidance have been instrumental in keeping the VAC and its delegates active in the county. He also provided a prolific amount of information to veterans and the wider community in this column, Veterans Corner. Interim Superintendent, Continued Services. The Veterans Assistance Commission delegates have named County Veterans Service Officer Conan Calhoun as Interim Superintendent. MCVAC continues to assist veterans in McLean County as our staff grows with services, including assisting veterans in requesting discharge documents and/or service treatment records, learning about how to file a claim for compensation, disability rating, how to file for veterans or survivors' pension, an on-site food pantry for veterans and their households, and more. Out of respect for your time and hours, we request that you make an appointment for financial assistance requests and food pantry visits. Veterans Service Officers' consultations are by appointment only. We want to be sure we have the time to talk about your potential claim and provide you with information about the process, as well as explaining any next steps. Please let us know if you have questions about our services or would like to make an appointment at 309-888-5140. And quote of the day for Jerry: if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. John Quincy Adams. Thank you, Jerry, for your leadership. I'll also include some information about road closures, and it's from Olivia Jacobs. Hovey Avenue, Normal. The right lanes of West Hovey Avenue will be closed in both directions from Searle Drive to Livingston Drive starting at 6 a.m. Tuesday. The lane closures are for sewer lining, public works officials said. The work is expected to be completed by 5 p.m. Wednesday, July 8, weather permitting. Eastland Drive, Bloomington. Asphalt binder operations are also scheduled to start Tuesday on Eastland Drive from Veterans Parkway to Hershey Road, weather permitting. The intersections along these routes will be temporarily closed periodically throughout operations to allow for proper asphalt installation until the project is complete. I'll now move on to page A3 in today's reading of the Panagraph. And the article is Pritzker Praises New Hemp Regulations. Sales ban on Delta 8 THC takes effect. CBD products still allowed. And the article is written by Ben Zielinski. A wide-ranging new state law on hemp and other cannabis regulations was long overdue, Governor J.B. Pritzker said Thursday at an event in Chicago to celebrate the new law he signed last month. Senate Bill 3222 makes a variety of changes to the state's cannabis laws, but chiefly introduces new regulations for intoxicating hemp products. It immediately bans the sale of the previously unregulated products, such as Delta 8, to those under 21, and now regulates intoxicating hemp under the state's existing cannabis laws. While our regulated cannabis market has been operating under those strict standards, using a federal loophole, an entirely separate market emerged for intoxicating hemp products, creating real risk to the public, especially for our kids, Pritzker said. Intoxicating hemp products have been sold over the counter without the safeguards consumers deserve, and until now without the protections needed to keep them out of the hands of young people. Intoxicating hemp products now must be sold in childproof packages. It also bans what supporters of regulation call misleading advertising and packaging that is designed to appeal to children, such as packaging the products in a way designed to look like common snacks. These are not harmless products that carry real risk for young children and young people, said Dr. Mark Butterley, the chief medical officer at Advocate Aurora Children's Hospital. These products can impair judgments, affecting the developing brain, and send children to our emergency departments. The law is years in the making after legislators debated how to regulate hemp. Proposals range from sweeping bans on hemp products to introducing an entirely new framework of regulations. Reforms Pritzker supported stalled in early 2025 after fighting between Pritzker, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and House Democrats. The governor endorsed a Senate-passed bill, but the House declined to take it up after a big blow-up in a private caucus meeting where Pritzker said members of his administration were verbally abused. Johnson's team opposed the Pritzker-supported bill. Pritzker bashed the mayor afterwards, saying he rarely reaches out to discuss issues with Pritzker, though the governor said he doubts Johnson's opposition stalled the measure. But this spring, there was little fighting over hemp and cannabis reforms, and the bill was introduced in the final days of session without drama. Other reforms. Beginning November 12, non-intoxicating CBD products with less than 0.4 milligrams of THC will be allowed to be sold outside the regulated market. With more businesses that sell intoxicating products now subject to regulation, the law also allows the state to issue 45 unused infuser licenses to businesses in January to applicants with prior experience under the state's social equity laws and add 100 new licenses in 2028. As industries evolve, our laws must also, Pritzker said. Today we are strengthening protections for children. We are expanding access for patients. We're advancing social equity even further, and we're making our regulatory system operate more efficiently and better for everyone. The bill also made several changes to the state's existing cannabis laws. All dispensaries in the state will be able to register as medical dispensaries, ending previous restrictions that distinguished between those that could sell medical products or only ones for recreational use. The new changes will also allow medical patients to pick up cannabis curbside or through a drive-through. More conditions will also qualify patients to receive a medical cannabis prescription. And also from page A3, the next article is Benton resigns from office. Welsh pressed for state representative to quit amid ethics investigation. And the article is written by Brendan Moore, Springfield. State Rep Harry Benton resigned from the Illinois House on Friday in the wake of a Legislative Inspector General investigation that has still not been made public. Nevertheless, House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welsh, who received the report earlier this week, said it revealed clear patterns of conduct by Benton that were outrageous, unethical, and unbecoming of a member of the Illinois House of Representatives. Welsh on Wednesday called on Benton to resign or face expulsion by his colleagues. In a letter addressed to Welsh and his House colleagues, the Plainfield Democrat said his resignation was effective at 4:59 p.m. Friday and that he also intends to withdraw his name as the Democratic nominee of the 97th House District in the upcoming election. "This matter has placed tremendous strain on my family since it began in late February," Benton wrote. "As we move forward into the next chapter of our lives, I respectfully ask that our privacy be honoured." Welsh, in a statement, confirmed receipt of Benton's letter. A long, secretive process. Welsh kicked Benton out of the Democratic caucus and stripped him of his committee assignments with no public explanation in late February. Capital News Illinois later confirmed that unspecified allegations of sexual harassment were made against Benton and that the matter had been referred to the Legislative Inspector General. LIG Mike McCuskey told Capital News Illinois earlier this week that he delivered his findings to Welsh's office on Wednesday. Under the LIG process, Welsh and Benton now have 20 days to respond in writing. Welsh's response would include details of any corrective or disciplinary action imposed. If McCuskey determines the action to be appropriate and adequate, he must file a report with the Legislative Ethics Commission within 30 days, detailing why he isn't filing a complaint. The case would then be closed. With Benton's resignation, it remains unclear if McCuskey's report detailing the lawmaker's conduct will ever become public. Only the Legislative Ethics Commission, an 8-member board comprised of an equal number of Democrats and Republicans from both legislative chambers, can make it so. And that's only done in cases resulting in at least a 3-day suspension, termination, or as part of the public record of a disciplinary hearing held by the LEC. It's unclear if Benton's case falls under any of those categories. The last time a report was made public was 2020. Accountability is not just a press release. Gabby Shanahan, the Republican nominee in Benton's district, released a statement criticising top Democrats, arguing that the district's constituents were left without the representation they deserved. While questions went unanswered, transparency was missing and the political class stayed silent. "Too many people in power acted like it didn't matter," Shanahan said. "I know it does. Accountability is not just a press release. It is not months of silence followed by a Friday afternoon announcement before a holiday weekend. Accountability is a promise you make to the people you serve every single day. That is my promise. And my apologies for any mispronunciations. And the next article comes from page A4, and it is ISU names 14 Bone Scholars. It's written by Olivia Jacobs. Normal. Illinois State University has named 14 students as Robert G. Bone Scholars for the 2026-27 school year. The Bone Scholarship is the highest university-wide honor given to undergraduate students and includes a monetary award from the Bone Scholarship Endowment. Recipients will be featured on a display at the Bone Student Center and recognized at a reception this fall. This year's recipients are as follows: Claire Campbell of Towanda, Physics; Riley Bobo of DeKalb, Psychology; Chloe Breckel of Millstadt, Nursing; Kennedy Carrico of Rantoul, Music Therapy, Vocal Performance; Bailey Center of Pekin, Molecular and Cellular Biology; Annie Zierjak of Peoria, Special Education, Deaf and Hard of Hearing; Paul Emmett of Yorkville, Molecular and Cellular Biology; Lily Frobisch of Buffalo Grove, Mathematics; Nia Jane of Vernon Hills, Computer Science; Isabel Kuzilek of Huntley, Legal Studies with Language Integration, Spanish; Steele Martin of Morton, Accounting; Caleb Ortman of Peoria, Geology; A.J. Wesley of Washington, Studio Art, Art History; Ava Watson of Dublin, Ohio, Biology. Visit news.illinoisstate.edu for more information. And finally, I'll include from page B8, Bloomington's five-day forecast. And today it'll be mostly sunny, with the wind from the northeast at 6 to 12 miles per hour, and there'll be a high of 86 degrees. And tonight, a crystal clear sky, and the wind will be from the east at 4 to 8 miles per hour, and the temperature 66 degrees. And on Wednesday, it'll be mostly sunny, and the wind will be from the southwest at 4 to 8 miles per hour, and there'll be a high of 88 degrees with a low of 68 degrees. And on Thursday, there'll be a shower and thunderstorm, and it'll be humid. And the wind will be from the southwest at 7 to 14 miles per hour. There'll be a high of 87 degrees with a low of 68 degrees. And on Friday, there'll be a shower and thunderstorm, and it'll also be very humid. And the wind will be from the north-northeast at 4 to 8 miles per hour. There'll be a high of 82 degrees with a low of 65 degrees. And on Saturday, there'll be periods of sun, but there'll also be a thunderstorm. And the wind will be from the east northeast at 6 to 12 miles per hour. And there'll be a high of 82 degrees with a low of 66 degrees. And in the regional outlook, it'll be a mostly sunny day today. Expect more than 10 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity 60% and fair drying conditions. A crystal clear sky tonight. Average relative humidity 80%, and it'll be mostly sunny tomorrow. Expect more than 10 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity 60%. Sunrise will be at 5:32 a.m. today, with sunset at 8:29 p.m. Moonrise, there'll be none, and moonset 1:13 p.m. And the UV index for today will be 11+, and today's air quality will be good. And from the National Allergy Bureau, pollen today: grasses will be low, trees low, weeds low, and mould low. I'll now take a short break and return with part two of today's reading of selections from the Pantograph for Tuesday, July 7, 2026, read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.